Accession number 21129, Wheel 4.
About the gyro compass, reading it, have I got it down?
Well, just repeat it, will you, please?
Well, you have to degree on the gyro compass, and you get it on a mark on the gyro compass, and you have to dive on this this directional mark. And now, the night of the assault, We was in out, and we had infantry from the Highland 51st Division infantry. We loaded up on the Buffalo. Our instructions was to get to the other side, stay in the water, and the infantry had to jump off the front of the Buffalo into the water and march, you know, onto the land at the other side. Anyhow, our landing wasn't so bad, we got across into our area that we were told to go. We got across, reading the gyro compass, and I said to the commander of the infantry, I said, stay aboard, I said, I'll give you a dry landing. You won't have to wade ashore. And I drove right up. When they landed, the leading infantrymen, they tripped a tripwire up and sent a flare up. You know, started a flare up. Anyway, I said to them, of course, the machine gun started firing then, and they'd all dropped down there and dropped down as though they could avoid the machine gun fire. And an old tin helmet, I said to one of the chaps, I said, come put it on top of the fire. And when I put it on top of the fire, it stopped it, the light. And of course, the machine gun fire stopped then. Anyway, they all debussed. Oh, we turned round and came back again, and we were told later that the landing was successful. Next day, the next day was firing artillery over, you know, small artillery, infantry, ammunition, supplies and that into Buffalo. A brigadier, general or somebody came up, wanted to go. In the meantime, they built a pontoon bridge across the Rhine, but he didn't want to cross the Rhine, they wanted to cross it in one of the Buffaloes. And our officer was told him that the general wanted to come across, and wanted an experience to see what it was like. I didn't know the general's name, but anyhow, that's what happened. The day before this happened, was ferrying the infantry and that across, and bringing the wounded back. Bringing the wounded back, we was shelled, our tank was shelled, it was set on fire, and I just got back onto land. I dropped the tailgate at the back because we wounded on stretchers. I got one of the other lads and said, come on, give us a hand, and we got the stretcher out. And we got them in shelter of the Buffalo, the other side. Other side of the Buffalo. And I was organising with German prisoners as well. they were as scared as anything as well, you know, being shelled. The buffalo was still a little fire on it. Anyway, I organised the evacuation of all the Indian in the buffalo. And the officer who had recommended, and one of the chaps was an English lad that had been Indian. They wanted to get up off the stretcher where I knelt aside of him in the open, because I'd got them all out properly. And that was quite in and down. And now eventually we got them all the way to a first aid post on the other side of the Bund, the big bank, the Column Bund. First aid post comes away. And the officer recommended for the military medal then, which I received in the field. After crossing the Rhine, I don't know where, I can't remember where we got finished up. Was a few days out across another round, Churchill came to see us. I saw Winston Churchill, but he didn't go across to where the firing was. It's up to where the firing, where the fighting had finished. I can't remember where we went to after that. But the buffalo were taken off us, and we were given our tanks back. And we finished up at a place called Houghton on the opposite Kiel Canal. It's called Houghton. Not Houghton. No, that was in the Ardennes. They come back to me. This place was the only monument that they left standing, because they destroyed all the monuments in Germany, you know. I don't know whether you know. No, it did not. But this one they left standing because it was a monument, big monument, to all the submarine crews of the world, irrespective of what nationality. And they left that one undamaged. From while I was there, our role was Colonel Williams who was given the role of, there were six camps. This was after VE Day. There were six camps, and they moved the Germans from one camp a week forward to the, when they came out of the sixth camp, there were civilians. And our role was to receive ships with these German prisoners on and transfer them from the docks. Well, it was all jetties really where we were, in a place called Monkey Bag. And they transferred them from there in three tunnels. But we didn't move. We weren't there with the three-tonne transport. We was just a receiver and dispatcher in this little area we had at Monkey Bag. And of course, as I said, they was moved to the six areas. From there, we started getting disbanded, and this was 1945.
How did you get on with the Germans after VE Day?
Not too bad. Long as you had smoke, because I didn't smoke, you could pay for your washing being done, such as that.
You mean paying cigarettes?
Paying cigarettes and chocolate. If you'd any chocolate left.
Why didn't you use local currency?
Because local currency didn't amount to much in them days. There wasn't much local currency. The best bartering was done by with cigarettes and chocolate. Everybody knew that. I have a camera upstairs at a bar with cigarettes and chocolate. And those East camera. From there I was discharged in November 45. Of course I came home to Dot.
You were doing well home, didn't you?
Can I just read out your citation, please?
Yeah, yeah.
It says, this NCO was troop leader's driver of the leading Buffalo in the night assault of the Rhine. It was through his calm and careful handling of the craft that his troop leader was able to manoeuvre and silence the enemy Spandaus, and so enable the infantry to scramble safely ashore under this offensive protection. On a subsequent journey back to with German prisoners and wounded, they were very heavily shelled, 3 Germans were killed, and 10 wounded. And during this shelling he deliberately placed himself over one of his our own stretcher cases, being prepared to give his life for a wounded comrade. His Buffalo received a direct hit, and although it had wounded in it, he personally evacuated all the casualties with complete disregard of the danger of fire and explosion from the ammunition and petrol which had caught alight. His bravery and calmness under very heavy fire were an inspiration to all there. Have you any further comments on that?
Oh, no, I just what I've told you, isn't it?
Don't you think it would
want to go? Just explain it. I don't think that. I just come back to England and started married life, didn't we?
The thing is, it is calm in everything. When we had our Ben's...
How do you feel now about having served with East Riding Yeomanry in the Second World War?
I feel honoured. Honoured to have been in a regular regiment. Maybe I wouldn't have had army life like I did.
Did you get wounded at any stage?
No. When I got knocked out on D-Day, the reason I didn't get wounded was I'd made a rack over the gearbox. Over the gearbox in the chairman, and with some little old dolls, one apiece, and we'd fill them with extra underclothing and socks. And we'd set these 5 on this rack that I made over the gearbox. And when we come to get Jimmy out, all the side of it, the old dolls, decided, but this was me and Jimmy, the old gunner. All the side of it, all the fab was all ripped apart, pieces of metal inside. If they hadn't been unpacked there, I'd have received them as well. And that's what saved me.
Did the war affect you mentally in any way?
Not at all.
Did you have any nightmares about it?
No, not really. No. You've got to put these things out in... Nowadays, I remember we've got a bit of stress or something. Nowadays, they're getting thousands of pounds of so-called stress.
Yeah.
Did it change your attitude towards life?
No, I don't think so. Took to married life all right, didn't I?
You certainly did, my love.